Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry K.B., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, April the 19th, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are at Chapter 2, page 20, and there is a solution, starting with the sixth paragraph beginning with, then we have a certain type, and we're going to be reading through two paragraphs ending on the first paragraph on page 21 that ends in once he starts to drink. We will be commenting on both paragraphs. Today's readers are Robin P. for the 12 Steps, A.J. N. for the 12 Traditions. Readers of our text are Penny L. C., Julie E. B., and Don B. Our newcomer greeter today is Leslie M., and Leslie W. will be our announcements today. The share ID for yesterday's Thursday, April 18th, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,800. That's 12800. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, April 19th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,803. That's 12803. The OA Preemblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery for the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Robin P. to please read our 12 Steps of OA. Robin? Star 1 to unmute, Robin.
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food and our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. God bless everybody. Have a wonderful day.
And thank you, Robin P. And now we'll hear from AJN, our 12 Traditions of OA. AJN?
Good morning. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
And thank you, AJN, for your service this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we are resuming our study of the Big Book on paragraph on page 20, paragraph 6, and it begins with, then we have a certain type. We're going to read through two paragraphs ending on page page 21, ending in the first paragraph that ends with, once he starts to drink. And now Penny L.C. will get us started. Penny?
Yes. Thank you, Sherry. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington, and this is the Big Book. Then we have a certain type of hard drinker. He may have had the habit badly enough to gradually impair him physically and mentally. It may cause him to die a few years before his time. If a sufficiently strong reason, such as ill health, falling in love, change of environment, or the warning of a doctor becomes operative, this man can also stop or moderate, although he may find it difficult and troublesome and may even need medical attention. But what about the real alcoholic? He may start off as a moderate drinker. He may or may not become a continuous hard drinker. But at some stage of his drinking career, he begins to lose all control of his liquor consumption once he starts to drink. And so I have to remind myself, I'm on a fact-finding, fact-facing mission here as I'm reading through these pages and determining if I have this disease or not. So I can look back and I can ask myself, am I a moderate drinker? Am I a hard drinker? Am I the real alcoholic? So in my experience, I realized when I look back, I overconsumed food from a very, very young age. And but I was able to control it to a certain degree with exercise, activity, or diets for some years. But I believe in my heart that I was a compulsive overeater at that time. I just had ways to control it. But believe me, my ability to moderate it or to stop absolutely left me at some point. There was no diet. There was no sense of control. There was no solution out there that was going to work for me in regular mainstream society that everyone else thought should be enough for me. Everybody else kept, that frothy emotional appeal, and none of that worked. Because why? Well, I know I have an allergy and an obsession. And I believe that the hard drinker doesn't necessarily experience the phenomenon of craving. And perhaps that person can stop under his own power. But can I? Can I control my food? No. Equivocally, no. I absolutely know that. And not only that, but if I look at what my intention with food is, am I eating for the pleasure? Am I eating for the social activity? I am eating for a whole different purpose. I am eating to escape. I'm eating to check out from whatever stress, emotional disturbance I'm experiencing at that moment. And to me, therein lies a big difference also. My purpose behind my eating, my intention with my food. So I'm grateful today to know that I am the real compulsive overeater. I do not have a choice, that I need to abstain from all of my alcoholic foods if I'm to live a sane and useful life, which I believe my higher power wants me to live. Thank you, Sherry. And thank you, and with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Penny L.C., for getting us started. So again, we're in the big book, Chapter 2, There is a Solution, starting with Paragraph 6 on page 20, beginning with Then We Have a Certain Type, reading through two paragraphs, ending on page 21 with Once He Starts to Drink. Comments will be on both paragraphs. So who would like to share?
Tara C.
John K.
Sarah C., John K.,
Rowena K.,
Rowena K., we got some
Beatrice O.,
Beatrice O., got you, Beatrice,
Kathleen O.,
Allie S.,
Kathleen O., and did I hear a Holly?
Allie S.,
Allie
S.,
Allie A.,
Allie
A., I'll take Allie, okay. You know what? That's the lineup we have right now. Donna, I'll catch you on the second round. We'll catch you on the second round, Donna B. Okay, so I have Sarah C., John K., Rowena K., Beatrice O., Kathleen O., and Allie A. Okay, Sarah, let's get started here.
Hi, thank you. My name is Sarah C., and I'm a compulsive over and under eater and an exercise bulimic in Florida. And, you know, I've reflected on these readings yesterday and today, and I look back over my life and see that when I was a little kid, I was an occasional overeater. And then in my teen years and early 20s, I became a hard eater. And I started jogging when I was in my 20s for health and for fun, and that was it. And then in my mid-20s, I became a compulsive overeater, and the exercise that I figured out, wow, you know, I can burn off what I'm eating by over-exercising. So what started out as a pleasant activity became a tyrant for me and a needed accompaniment to my compulsive overeating. So I just see so clearly the progression of this disease for me, starting as an occasional overeater, and then a hard eater, and then a compulsive overeater, and as a exerciser for health and for fun, and then becoming a compulsive exerciser to balance out my calories in. I never wore the weight because I ran it off and went to great extremes to prevent that. And I go to page 32, where it says, there is no way of proving it. We believe that early in our drinking careers, most of us could have stopped drinking. And that's true, I think, for me. If I had, you know, as a little kid, if somebody had been paying attention as I transitioned into a compulsive eater and offered me help or suggestions, maybe, maybe not. I'll never know. But the truth is now I'm a woman who has been a compulsive over and under eater and an exercise bulimic for decades. I've never worn the weight as a consequence of my overeating. And I'm in recovery now and grateful for that. And so thanks for letting me share. I passed.
Thank you, Sarah C. John K., you're up, followed by Rowena K. John?
Good morning. My name is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. I was reading this and I was thinking of this funny story that happened to me when I first came into my first program, AA. I was talking to this guy and I was like, well, I don't know if I'm really an alcoholic because last year I stopped for a month and a half. And then a couple months ago I stopped for like 2 weeks. And he said to me, you know, John, a person who's not an alcoholic doesn't have to keep stopping periodically to prove to himself that he's not an alcoholic. And I was busted on that. But the reason I bring that up is I think of myself and diets over the years. And I also in recovery, trying to take back yellow light foods. And, you know, the thing about diets for me is, you know, I really deluded myself sometimes. You know, when I first came in, I used to say when I shared, you know, I tried every diet and they didn't work. But I realized I tried every diet and they all worked. They all worked once. But I have the brain of an addict and then it's not going to work, you know. And, you know, they talk here at some stage of his drinking career, he begins to lose all control of liquor. In other words, this is a perfect example, description, actually, of the allergy of the body, you know, and with alcohol, that's been proven scientifically. There's an enzyme that burns out in the human body. But with us, it's a little harder. I mean, I had a friend say to me once, watched how I was eating, you know, because I had ate certain foods with him. And he said, you know, John, when other people, when they eat, they get full. When you eat, you seem to get hungry. That was definitely true, you know. And the thing is that I was able, you know, there were many foods I could say when I came in, okay, I can't. If I start these, I can't stop. But these other ones I dabbled with for years, you know. Sometimes I say, well, okay, I'm not going to eat this for a while. Just like the thing I talked about in the beginning with booze, you know. And so I wouldn't eat it for a month. And then I'd have it after 3 months and say, see, I can handle this. And then it would be 2 weeks, and then it would be a week, and then the next thing you know, I'm right back to the races, you know. And that's why I really like the classification of red light, yellow light, green light foods. But it's funny, you know, Kim G says, and I agree, there's really no such thing as a yellow light food. They're all either red or green. But the thing is, deciding that is the task. That's the hard part, you know. You know, I always joke that, you know, when it comes to those yellow light foods, 90% of them are actually red light foods that I'm screwing around with, you know. You know, in terms of that traffic light analogy, I'm jamming on the gas and hoping I can get through the light. The other thing that it took me years to get is, you know, they talk about how no one likes to feel they're bodily and mentally different than their fellows. But for me, I also have to accept I'm bodily and mentally different from my fellows in OA. I can't look at what other people can eat and say, well, geez, if they're compulsive eaters. If they can eat that, I should be able to eat that. I have to decide which ones are the ones I can eat, and that took years. And today I sort of tell sponsees, listen, let's look at that yellow light list and really maybe take them all off for a while if you've been slipping and sliding, and add them back one at a time because, you know, we have a tougher time than alcoholics. It's really simple. Don't drink. You know, boy, I wish. I wish that would work for me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, John K. Sorry about that. Thank you, John. And now we'll hear from Rowena K., followed by Beatrice O. Rowena?
Hi, this is Rowena K. in the United Kingdom. Yeah, I like this passage because it just reminds me that, you know, 10 years ago when I first found OA, I knew that I was a hard eater, and it took me 3 years back then to get abstinent, to get entirely abstinent, which lasted for about 2 years before I gave it away, because I began to think that I wasn't a hard eater anymore. I began to, you know, think, well, I'm not binging, you know, on chocolate, and I'm not as bad as any of these people in the rooms. And I stayed like that for probably about 2 years, you know, in such misery without actually even knowing I was an abstinent, because I wasn't eating chocolate, but I was binging my brains out and restricting on abstinent food. I mean, binging on abstinent food and then restricting. And I had a sponsor that I rang almost daily, and she didn't even know where I was at. She didn't know that I was back in my disease. And it wasn't until I found this meeting that I began to see that I wasn't abstinent. And now that I have entire abstinence and a level of food neutrality, I can see, you know, I have this program to help me deal with life and to learn how to cope without, you know, having to numb on food. And I can't say that's easy, you know. I'm still fairly early in my abstinence, and it really is hard to learn new ways of doing things. And learning new ways of doing things is as simple as, you know, telling somebody, say on the GroupMe chat, that I have a fear or that I have a resentment. You know, these are the things that my mind will say to me, you don't really have to do that today, you know, you've been abstinent, so why on earth do you need to tell people about your fears or your resentments? And that's my disease, you know, telling me this is not so important. And it is important, because, you know, for me to turn away from those things is to actually die. Maybe a slow death, but it will eventually kill me. And I'm just grateful to have this meeting today, because it means that I can turn away from my own head and being in self and driving myself crazy and actually, you know, out my disease. So thank you all and wish you happy Easter. Not that I know that it's Easter, because, you know, when I was in the street, every day was Easter. Well, every day that I wanted it to be Easter was Easter. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Rowena K. And Beatrice O, you're up, followed by Kathleen O. Beatrice?
Good morning. This is Beatrice O from Los Gatos, California. Anyway, I'm grateful to be on the line. So when it talks about, you know, a bad habit, and if I found my eating troublesome, that I might seek medical attention. So the truth about it is, for me, is I ate to survive as a child. And my eating pattern and behaviors started early on. Before I got in recovery, and even in recovery for the last 40 years, I used to gain 40, 60 pounds, 100 pounds, and I wouldn't even realize that I was gaining weight until halfway through. It would be like 30-pound difference before I realized that I was in relapse. I used to eat and not realize that I was putting something in my mouth. I couldn't handle it. So I crossed the line a long time ago, and I lost that control. So what I want to share about today is I've been sick, I've been traveling, I've been on vacation, and I've been on a slippery slope to hell. And to that, like, banquet in the grave. And I realized that I had to step it up and work my program and realize that, yes, I am a food addict, and that hasn't changed. And I realized that, hey, I surrendered my life to God. I am a child of God. And I am not going to be overcome by the spiritual darkness that food addiction takes me to. So my higher power is alive and well. on a spiritual level, I can't cross the street without holding my higher power's hand, especially when I have stress. And there's a disease or an affliction, it's called anosognosia. That's the way you pronounce it. And it's someone who doesn't believe that they have a problem or an addiction. And I didn't realize that that was an affliction until one day I took my sister to...
Time?
Okay, well, I guess that story's for another time. Thank you for letting me share. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Beatrice O. Kathleen O, you're up, followed by Allie A. Kathleen?
Good morning, Sherry, and thanks for your service this morning. This is Kathleen O, recovered in Northern California. So then there's that certain type. You know, I wished for years and years and years that I could be the type that could moderate. And it never, I think somebody's unmuted, it never worked. You know, I could go on diets, I could lose weight. I went on many, many diets, and that's kind of the clue that I was the real deal. Because, you know, people can go on diets and lose weight, and then they're good to go. I would go on diets and lose weight and start eating again and trigger the allergy. And once the allergy is triggered, that obsession hits in, and I can't stop thinking about anything but food. And I could gain back 50 pounds in a month easily. And that is kind of shows, you know, how much food I could eat. And, you know, I you know, going to family functions and parties and getting together with friends, food and alcohol is a way to celebrate those things. And it does make it more fun for people. And when it came to alcohol, I was the kind of person that would have, you know, someone would give me an alcoholic drink, I would maybe drink half of it. I just had no desire for it, maybe because I was so focused in on the food. But that's the difference. With food, you know, I enjoy it for the first 5 minutes, but then I can't control it anymore. And it's all I can think about. It's all I can think about. So, you know, being able to work these 12 steps and get the gift of abstinence, get the gift the physical gift is great, but the, you know, the emotional and spiritual gift is really amazing. And I think I'm running out of time. So I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Some more time left, Kathleen, but thank you, Kathleen.
Okay. Well, let me say one more thing then.
Sure.
I was trying to remember what my 3 minutes were by looking at my clock and I forgot, but, I know people who are morbidly obese, and I've watched them eat, and they're just eating the wrong foods, and they're not exercising, and because they stop, you know, they'll eat something and they'll stop. And as much as people cannot understand us because they have no idea, it's like, what do you mean you can't stop when you're full? When you're full, you stop eating. When I'm full, I don't stop eating. You know, when I'm in my, when I was in my binge foods, I would not stop eating, even though I was full, even though I'd feel horrible. I just kept eating. So that's the difference between them and me. Thanks, Jerry, and I pass.
Thank you, Kathleen O. And before we hear from Allie A., I just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 20, paragraph 6, and, of course, the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and there is the solution. Then it begins with, then we have a certain type. Reading through two paragraphs, ending on page 21, the first paragraph ending in once he starts to drink. So let's go ahead and hear from Allie A., and then I'll take some more names. Allie? Star 1 to unmute, please.
Hello, this is Allie A. S. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can, Allie A., yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, yes, my name is Allie S., and I'm a compulsive overeater, sober alcoholic, and also drug addict and in SLA. Yeah, but my compulsive overeating is my oldest and biggest addiction. And yeah, just reading the text reminds me of my situation today, because there are like hard eaters out there and hard drinkers, but they don't lose control of their life, and they don't get stop being self-supportive. They live their life, and they're able to live their life, and I'm not. Like, for me, my compulsive overeating, you know, being back in the addiction, it has totally, yeah, I made a mess in my life. I was not able to live my life. I became dependent on my mom again. And yeah, I made quite a mess now. And now I'm, you know, back in OA after being working in the steps in AA, and I'm in step one now. And I'm just realizing, like, oh my God, what a mess I made. And oh, I will never be to come under out from it. But I know I will with this program. And I'm in my 9th day of food plan abstinence, and I'm so grateful for that. And yeah, I just was able to surrender finally, like after 2.5 years in the program and being on and off in OA and dieting again, and then binging, and finally just not being able to stop binging, continually binging and dieting in the morning, binging in the afternoon, and I finally could surrender. I finally could see how I lost control of my life because of my food addiction and my compulsive overeating. And I don't know, I'm not overweight. I don't know, I got lucky, but it killed my life. I was so much in isolation. I am getting like unemployment money from the state, but also I took money from my mother. I asked her for money because I ate all my money, and now I found out that it's not okay to take the money from the family if you get the state money, and I made a big mess. And so yeah, I'm a real compulsive overeater, because when I'm in that state of compulsive overeating, nothing else matters. Just consume. And I need money to be able to be in my compulsive overeating. But I'm happy to be here and happy to be in recovery and really grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Allie. Yes, and welcome back. Okay, so we are on page 20, paragraph 6, reading through two paragraphs ending on page 21, the first paragraph. And I have Donna B. down. Who else would like to go?
Bruce.
Julie E.B.
Melanie C.
Okay, so I heard a Bruce.
Deborah
Bruce. Here, Bruce.
Brucey.
Got you, Bruce.
Patty T.
I've got Melanie C.
Michelle.
I've got Julie E.B. I'm going
Deborah
down.
Deborah P.
Just a second here. I heard Patty T. And I've got one more slot.
Deborah P.
Okay.
Thanks.
And if we have room, we'll try to get some more in, but I'm not sure about that. Okay, so I have Donna B., Bruce E., Melanie C., Julie E. B., Patty T., Deborah B. P., sorry. All right, Donna B., let's get us going.
Thank you. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Denver, Colorado. Thank you to everyone who's shared and has been of service. When I first came into the rooms, a woman came up to me after the meeting and she said, "You are so lucky you are a bulimic. Because you are so sick, you'll have an easier time accepting that you are a real compulsive overeater." I didn't have to dance around whether I was or wasn't, or whether I belonged or didn't belong in the room. I had spent sufficient nights sleeping on the floor after vomiting with bottles of Mylanta and containers of Tums to know that I really had a serious disease. It had the potential to kill me, literally, and also to just deaden everything inside of me. In the second paragraph, I have a word circled because it's, to me, a really, really important clue as to where I can find my solution. It says he begins to lose all control of his liquor consumption once he starts to drink. And we learned a lot about that word, starts, in the doctor's opinion, where we learned that this whole conversation would be entirely academic if once we knew about having the allergy of the body, that would be sufficient to have me stop. But it wasn't. Knowing that every time I picked up an alcoholic food, I would be unable to stop, was not, that knowledge was not sufficient to have me stop starting. The obsession of the mind had me in its grip. Every morning I wake up and I get on my knees and I ask God to keep me sober and abstinent. And all throughout the day, I seek God's direction, inspiration, intuitive thought. I know like I know my hair is brown and my eyes are brown, that I cannot rely on my own thinking. I'm grateful to identify into the correct classification for myself so that it compels me forward in accessing the prescription to the solution that is appropriate for the depth of my disease. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Donna B. All right. So, Bruce E., you're up, followed by Melanie C. Bruce?
Well, thank you. This is Bruce E. I'm recovering in North Carolina. Yeah. What about the real alcoholic? Well, that's me. Started out as a moderate drinker. I think I started out as a moderate eater. Then I went to the hard eater. And then I went to the alcoholic eater. I think I don't know what period of time that took, but it wasn't long. I mean, I got there pretty quick. Yeah. And what did I know? I was a food addict or a real alcoholic. Well, binging all weekend and saying, you know, Monday I'm going to quit. And then on Monday, nope, still continued right on into Monday. And then what about this that probably people are going to be familiar with? People in the family hiding food from me. You know, looking back on that, I just see how sick I was. I mean, they were sick and I was sick. They're hiding food from me and I'm hiding food from them. So, you know, if that isn't the bottom, I mean, you know, I mean, you got to be really hitting some bottoms there. He may or may not become a continuous hard drinker, but at some stage of his drinking career, he begins to lose all control of his liquor consumption. Well, yeah, I didn't have any control. I had no control over it. I tried everything, no control. Then it does add in there, he begins to lose all control of his liquor consumption, comma, once he starts to drink. So I'm assuming if he never drank, he wouldn't have the problem. So every time I started to eat, I couldn't stop. But then when I stopped, I wanted to eat. I was going to start again, you know. Just total addict, food addict. And why it was food, I don't know. It just was. Yeah, that's what it was. It is what it is. I'm glad I know now what I know. I'm glad I've got an organization that I can belong to, that I can be with and hang around with and talk with and recover with. And I know I can't do it alone. I tried doing it alone. I can't do it alone. It has to be with other people and my higher power. And the program works. It really does work. So, yeah, that's it. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Brucey. And Melanie C., you're up, followed by Julie E.B. Melanie?
Hi. Thanks, Sherry KB. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in Wilsonville, Oregon, and I am grateful to be here. You know, I don't know about you, but I would read these, a couple of paragraphs here, trying to figure out which one I was, and I always got hung up on that hard drinker one. Didn't I become a compulsive overeater because I was a hard eater and I could then just come up with some sort of idea like this hard drinker was and did and just not drink anymore? How come I'm different than that? Because I was definitely a hard eater. I have an uncle that was a hard drinker that showed this example to me. Drank hard. His life falling down around him. Family in sad shape. Lots of DUIs. There are some ideas that perhaps he went outside his marriage. It was whispers behind the back in the scenes of this uncle. Precious, precious guy when he wasn't drinking, but he was a mess and he was drinking most of the time. And when he was about late 50s, early 60s, he stopped. He just simply stopped. He'd had enough. He was done. He became an exemplary husband and father and grandfather. I mean, he was just the dearest thing. Those things that were already in him just percolated up to the top, and he was so precious. He was dead within 4 years because of the damage that all that drinking had over his life had on his body. And that's a beautiful example of that. But what's different for me? What is different for me? Well, when I was in my early ages, and this is all in hindsight, I had to research it and go back over and ask the question before I could know for sure in my heart that there was a difference. And I was young and 7 years old and in this cafeteria lunch line, and I would just go, oh, when I'd smell these smells and my mouth would be salivating and I couldn't get to the front of the line and have my lunch, and I wanted other people's too, and I made sure that I was there for seconds because they always gave seconds. When I go to my girlfriend's houses, when we're should be playing with Barbie dolls, I'm saying, can we cook something? Can we eat something here? When I'm coming home from school in high school, I can't wait to get home to get as much food into my body as I possibly can. And then I'm going to stop eating at 16 years old and never do this again. And I get this idea, if you don't stop now, you're never going to get to go back. And the diets continued over decades. I still had to keep going down and keep going down. The vicious cycle and the twisted thinking is the difference for me. The vicious cycle, the twisted thinking, and that first bite, the first bite of whatever I was allergic to, whether I knew it or not, the consequences of that is I was going to repeat that thing over and over again. And that was the distinction between me and the hard drinker. And I was so grateful to have that and the solution that keeps me walking away from it every single day. Thanks, Pat.
And thank you, Melanie C. And Julie E.B., you're followed up by Patty T. Julie?
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered, one day at a time here in Colorado. Beautiful day, and I can see that beautiful day today. As I think about these paragraphs, I'm so glad that we gather here together in this meeting for one purpose, and that is to help someone's unmuted. That is to help the still suffering compulsive overeater. And so this is, if I'm still in food and I'm listening to this, what am I thinking about? I'm thinking about, oh, well, maybe I can go back. Maybe I'm just a hard eater. Maybe I don't fit here. Maybe I do fit here. But I'm here to tell you that whether or not you feel like you fit anywhere at all, this spiritual program of action is a beautiful thing to be a part of. To finally be in a place where I'm not alone, or if I become disturbed, as I did just last night, and probably will again today with my three teenagers, I can just go back to that quiet place. For me, a lot of this spiritual awakening came on the bottom page 25. I came as a true compulsive overeater. I came to the point where there was no middle or road solution. I could continue on blotting out as best I could. There's no shame in it. There's no fear that would get me out of it. There's no anger that would get me out of it. I was just continuing on as best I could, blotting out my intolerable situation. I don't know what was intolerable for you, but for me, it was intolerable to live my life, to wear my feelings on the outside, the idea that life was just my nerves on the outside, life was happening to me, and it was just so painful unless I was in that food. I was blotting out as best I could, or I could seek spiritual help. And when I came to see that I was using food to blot out my awakeness, consciousness means awakeness, and that this solution meant increasing my awakeness to something deeper, better, as someone said yesterday, full of love and compassion towards myself and towards others, that's when everything began to happen. And it happened by getting a sponsor and reading word by word through this book and working the steps. Thank you for letting me share, and I hope if you're suffering, you'll reach out today. And I pass.
And thank you, Julie B. And Patty T., you're up, followed by Deborah B. P.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Sherry. This is Patty T., recovered today, calling from Southern California. And, oh, this has just been such a wonderful meeting and a great way to start my Friday. Remembering what it was like, you know. Before I came into the program, I remember I got an intestinal bug, and the doctor said to me, nothing but white toast and Jell-O for 6 days. And I was just, I didn't know what I was, right? I didn't know I was a compulsive overeater. And I did that. I did 3 days of the white toast and Jell-O. But then on the fourth day, I just couldn't take it. I needed something more strenuous to chew. And so I had scrambled eggs, thinking, my best thinking, you know, that would be okay. And then I went into such terrible pain. And I called my doctor crying. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And he goes, well, what did you eat? And I told him, just the toast and the Jell-O. And he said, anything else, anything else. And I said, yes, 2 scrambled eggs. Now, we normally, you know, like normal people would understand that when the doctor tells you nothing but, that's nothing but. And they would do that. But I didn't understand nothing but. I'd never understood nothing but. I started this business really, really, really young. And then I can remember when I was in one of those stages of relapse, and I bought a lunch, and I was trying so desperately to get abstinent. And I remember looking at the tiny bowl of food in front of me and crying, like in public, because it couldn't possibly fill me. It couldn't possibly be enough. And then I remembered my program, and I just said, God, please let this be enough. Please, God, let this food be enough. And I remember the whole time I ate, it wasn't going to be enough. It wasn't going to be enough. Fear overwhelmed me. And then finally, on the last bite, I'd had enough. And since I've been in this program, this fellowship, over the last 10 months, 11 months, I've been learning to invite God in. And that's what I do today. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Patty T. And Deborah P., we've got about 2 minutes left. If you could do 2 minutes, that would be great. Deborah P.?
Hi. Thank you. This is Deborah P. from Northern California. This has been, the last few days have just been amazing. I love this meeting. And I have been struggling with the food, and for the last 3 days I have not been, and I'm so grateful. I am definitely a real compulsive overeater, no doubt about it. I've gone through a lot in the last 6-9 months, and I recently went to a plant-based food plan for a number of reasons, and so finding my way with that has been challenging. And then stress and job change and all kinds of reasons. Bottom line is I'm a real compulsive overeater, and by the grace of God, for the last 3 days, I've had peace from the food, which is absolutely amazing. But, you know, I wanted to come in here and be well before I said anything. And I'm not well. And I guess I've been trying to get in on the meetings and haven't been able to get in. And this morning, by the grace of God, I was able to get in. So I just want to put it out there that I've been struggling. I could use support. And yeah, by the grace of God, I've got 3 days of clean eating, and it just feels really good. So anyway, thank you guys for being here. I have not, I've been calling in anyway, even though I've been in the food, and it's a blessing. I just love these meetings. So thank you very much, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Deborah P., and I want to thank everyone for sharing today. That's all the time we have, and all those who are listening as well. I want to thank Team Friday for their service. We had Robin P. on the 12 Steps, AJ N. on the 12 Traditions, Penny L. C. on was our reader, and Julie E. B. is going to read page 164 for us today, and Don B. is back up waiting in the wings, and our newcomer greeter is Leslie M. and announcements, Leslie W. So we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Julie E.B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Julie? Star
110. Hi, this is Julie E.B. Recovered. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and for countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God if you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you shall surely meet some of us if you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you